2 Kings chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at verse 15. I trust tonight that you're expecting the Lord to move. Be in a spirit of expectancy. God never blesses without faith. At least it's not a consistent blessing. Sometimes His mercy will come, but there has to be faith somewhere, and I trust that it's in your heart today. I want to show you a kind of a background for a move of God here. In this picture, starting with verse 15, prior to it, Israel needs rain. There's a need for an outpouring. And God's people have not been what they ought to be in obedience. They haven't honored God as they should. And this man of God, Elisha, in this moment, finds himself frustrated in his own spirit with the lack of spiritual response to the children of God. And yet in this moment, he knows that he cannot respond out of his own heart. He needs something from the Lord. How do we get something from God? When we need a revelation, how do we encourage that? What can we do in the moment when we don't have already what we need from the Lord, a revelation? In this moment, Elisha gives us a prescription that seems somewhat strange. Needing to hear from God, this is what he requests. But now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. When the minstrel played, here he is asking in that moment for a minstrel, someone who is a strummer, the word would be. Someone who strums upon strings that vibrate, such as a harp. And here a strummer is brought before him, and he sits in that moment quiet. He sits in that moment contemplating and waiting for God to do something. God's people have a knack for waiting upon the Lord, of being still and finding out that God is in the midst. Here this man, Elisha, is a prophet. He knows what it is to hear from God. He knows what it is to hear the word of God. But it's not something that he can turn on and off. It's not something that he can dictate. He's waiting to hear from God. He has to hear a particular word. And so he wants an environment that is going to be conducive to hearing God's word. What does he ask for? Number one, he asks for music. He's asking for music. If we're going to have God move, we have to find out what God wants. He dwells in the midst of praise. He dwells in the midst of worship. He dwells in the midst of music. This is where God is. And we have to be able to understand that we do not just simply say, God, I want to hear from you, but we come into His presence. We come into something that God is comfortable with. God is comfortable with praise. God is comfortable in worship. And what are we going to find as we move into praise and worship? The unpredictable as far as understanding and comprehension. We're going to learn what we did not know. We're going to receive a revelation that we didn't have. As we worship the Lord, and I thank God for the worship that we heard in this service and participated in, what are we wanting? We're wanting God to manifest Himself. Too many of us are satisfied with believing we know what God is, what God wants. We know doctrine, and so we can be careless. We don't have to really encourage God to come. I know what there is as far as foundation truths. I know what there is as far as guidance. No, you don't, because God wants something fresh and new in the midst of the church. And we are coming into worship and praise so that God might move upon us, so that God could give guidance and instruction. And so we praise the Lord until the power comes. We worship the Lord until the power is manifest. We stand there in awe, in praise and thanksgiving until we can sense that the hand of the Lord is upon the church. The hand of the Lord is upon the people. Too often we are not reaching toward a high point. We sing a bit and then we have the announcements. We sing a bit and we have the offering. We sing a bit and we have something else. We sing a bit and then the preacher preaches. But listen, where there is no vision, the people perish. We need the sense of God's awe, the glory of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord. We need that sense that God is among us, that this is God showing Himself glorious in the midst of the saints. We need to be reaching towards something. Where there is no vision, the people perish. It's not just having a lovely service. It's not just having a service where that we are responsive. It's coming to this moment knowing, I'm going to worship the Lord because somewhere in the midst of what's happening, God's going to make himself manifest. I'm going to find what God wants to do in this particular service. Maybe it is that he wants to heal, deliver, teach, instruct, but God wants to do something in every service. So I'm going to sing unto the Lord a new song. I'm going to worship the Lord with songs and hymns that magnify and exalt his name. And somewhere in the midst, there's going to be a change of what is happening, and the heaviness is going to be lifted. The tiredness is going to disappear, and this people are going to sense the beauty of holiness as we worship and sing unto the Lord. God is going to walk among us and be God, saying, I indeed am here. It's not enough to have truth. Truth without his presence is sterile. Truth without his presence will do us no more good than the man who's in jail who knows what to do and does it not. It is not mere truth that God gives us. He gives us himself. He causes himself to descend into the very midst of what we are a part of until we sense that the Lord is here in this place. That the Lord is in this place even as we look and find that God speaks and declares, I am with thee. I am among thee. I am a God. I will be a God to you and you will be my people. I will lead thee, guide thee, and direct thee. We want in this moment to sense that it's not just information that we are able to pass a test with, not just instruction that we have received, but we behold God in his power and his glory. What can set a city free from the lottery until in this hour, as I was on the broadcast last night, men called in and said, I'm spending $50, $100, $150 a week on the lottery. I'm spending $20, $30, $40 a week on the lottery. Why? Because people aren't led by God, directed by God. They're slaves to the power of a hunger that they have that they might succeed. But you can't succeed except the Lord build the house, except the Lord lead you and guide you. You can't succeed except God is working. And it's not information, it is transformation by the revelation of the Spirit of the Lord. And what do? We praise him until the power comes down. We sing unto him until his glory is manifest. We lift our voices and cry out his name until he's in the midst. We say Jesus until it becomes a song. We say Jesus until it becomes a melody. We say Jesus until it becomes a beautiful thing. We say Jesus until we know that he's among us. We say Jesus until cancers fall away. We say Jesus until unclean spirits leave a man. We say Jesus until the bitterness goes. We say Jesus until somebody's got a new song. We say Jesus until somebody has a tear in their eye. We say Jesus until there's a deliverance. His name is Jesus, and that name is a song. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He's our song tonight. He's our song tonight. He becomes our song. He becomes our song. There's a song that's within me. His name is Jesus. There's a song that's within me. He's the Lord of glory. And I look and see that this song is a song of the redeemed. It's a song of those who've been delivered. It's the song of those who've been loosed from the power of the devil. Thank God for a song. Praise God for a song. First and foremost, music is the property of Jesus Christ. We look and we find that in the time of worship, when Israel looked around about and they heard the songs of music, they knew that music belonged to God. I do not say in this moment that I'm going to get some way legalistic, But I want to tell you, have you heard a song? First of all, it belongs to God. There'd be no music without God. There'd be no music without God's people worshiping and praising the Lord. Let's get music back where it belongs. It's used as a tool to bring God back into the church, back into the hearts of men who are cold. Music belongs to God. It is His. And you rob God when you don't sing to Him. You rob God when you don't play to Him. You rob God when you don't rejoice in your soul with music. Music belongs to God. Don't steal it. It's His. It doesn't belong to the devil. It doesn't belong to a drug culture. It doesn't belong to those who are cursed. It belongs to God, and He gives it to those who are blessed. Until moms can sing to their children, until dads can rejoice in God, until we can lift our voices and say, God, we praise You with these lips. We clap our hands in this moment in unison, saying, the Lord is mighty among us. Music belongs to Jesus Christ, the church, the saints. It's ours to glorify God. David was that king and prophet, and what did God give him the power to do? He invented musical instruments. Why? So he could start a music group and have a rock group to have some kind of a carnal thing? No. He loved the church and he loved his God. And he said, God, teach me how to make a wind instrument and a string instrument. Because when I come to worship You, I'm still limited. There's got to be another instrument that I haven't conceived yet that I can praise You with, that I can bring beauty into holiness and rejoice that God is in the midst of His people ministering beauty. I've seen the oppressed. I've seen the depressed. Some of you are here in that place. But I've never seen the oppressed and the depressed who can really sing. I said, who can really sing? There's a song of a soul that's set free. There's a song of somebody that's been loosed from the power of hell. I've not seen anybody yet who's bound by the curse of hell who is able to sing the song of the redeemed. There's something happens when you can lift your voice and sing, oh happy day, oh happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Thank God for songs that rejoice in God our Savior. We sometimes underestimate and misunderstand choirs. Why does God give choirs to the church? Not to be perverted, as they often are. Who does the devil go after? The choir leader. Why? It should begin with a holy man, an apostle and a prophet, almost it were. A man, a woman who is able to sense the goodness of the Lord. Listen, we need choirs, but we need choir leaders who are not bound by sexual sin, who are not bound by pride. We need choir leaders who know how to sing of the joy of the Lord and the soul that's set free. We need choir leaders who have gone through the fire, gone through the flood, gone through the time of test, and say, my anchor holds, and I want to sing about deliverance. I want to sing about freedom. I want to sing about liberty. I want to sing about joy. I want to sing about hope. Holiness. I want to sing about purity. I want to sing. Hallelujah. I want to sing. Israel was dry, and what was that that got into the spirit of Israel? Spring up, O well. Sing ye unto it. Hallelujah. Sing unto blessing and joy and victory when you haven't had a drink, but you know there is such a thing as water from God. Now begin to spring up, oh well. But you better sing unto it. You better tell the choir, get away from the flesh and get away from the powers of hell and begin to know what you've been called to do. To sing unto the Lord. To sing unto the Lord. To sing unto Jesus. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Praise the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. When I think about serving the Lord, if I had the ability to do it the way that I would like, I think there's two things I'd like to be. I'd like to be a musician, and I'd like to be an acrobat. Why? Because I believe that we ought to demonstrate how much freedom we have in Christ. And I like to see somebody do a flip in a beautiful manner. I mean a real acrobat. I mean, sometimes you'll see little kids training for the Olympics. There's nothing like seeing a 13, 12, 11-year-old child that's been training for the Olympics. It's amazing the poise, the balance, the beauty that's a part of that moment. Oh, there's a beauty in holiness. We ought to be acrobats for Jesus. He causes us to find the power and balance we never had before. He's loosed us from the rigidity of our life and shown us that we're able in this moment to come up higher. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'd love to be an acrobat. It'd be great to be able to preach and feel the anointing and then just make a real great somersault. Hallelujah! A backflip. Thank you, Jesus. Never miss a word and go on. And go on in joy. And go on in strength. And go on in beauty. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And they shall find that they're acrobats. In Him they're able. To worship the Lord, I'd love to be an acrobat. Unto the Lord. Do a somersault unto Him. Hallelujah. Do a backflip unto Him. Be able to do it unto the Lord. You're the one who set me free. You're the one that gave me freedom. You're the one that gave me liberty. You're the one who gave me joy. Then I think the greatest gift next, perhaps over that, is the one of music. To sing unto the Lord a new song. Sometimes I listen to love songs and ballads and I thank God for them. But sometimes I wonder, they're singing to the wrong person. Hallelujah! They're singing to the wrong person! And they say, you're my everything! You better know who your everything is. The lily of the valley. The bright morning star. The fairest of 10,000. The one who will never fail you. The one that loved you while you were in sin and in darkness. He came that you might have life. You're singing your love songs to the wrong person. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! I believe in love songs. I never preached this before, but I believe this too. That there's only one person that has a right for your love song. Hallelujah! He who died for you and said, Father, forgive her because she doesn't know what she does. Father, forgive him. He doesn't know what he does. Oh, there's a place for love songs. But until you've sung your best to Jesus, don't sing to an earthly person. Don't bow to an earthly person. Don't surrender to an earthly person until you surrender to Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The church is to be a festival. It is to be a banquet. It is to be a time of expression unto Him who's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. Here comes a song to you. Unto you we sing of your beauty, your majesty, your glory. Our soul looks unto thee and sings how great thou art. Hallelujah! 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 King of kings, Lord of lords, bright and
Elisha said, "You want rain. You want the pressure to stop. So you want me to pray. And you want me to say something. Then bring me a young lady. A young lady that's gifted and skillful. And just let her play." Well, does she have to be anointed? No, I got the anointing. Just let her play. You see, music is meant to do something in you. In you. Just let her strum for a while. Just let her play. The miracle's going to happen in me. There has to be a change and a transformation concerning the saints of God in music. We've all been perverted somehow in music, many of us at least. Some of us, we don't even hear music anymore. It died somewhere along the line. Turn on a news station, I want to hear something, maybe something happened, maybe the world's coming to an end, I don't even know it. Leave the news station on, I want to get some information. We need information. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. But I want to tell you where it's coming. It's coming in music. God is giving truth in music. God is giving truth in beauty. Now I want you to take this deeper than just what I'm saying, but in the spirit of what I'm saying. If it's not wrapped in beauty, then it's missing what God is saying. Because God can say all that He wants to say in a singing musical. The church is a musical. Deliverance is a musical. Salvation is a musical. Marriage is a musical. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is a musical. Deliverance is a musical. Praise God, it's a musical. Get the joy of music back in your spirit and realize that God wants to bless you in a beauty that you haven't seen for a long time. There are those who find themselves motivated. Their whole life is music. And I want to tell you, get your music back to Jesus. You say, "Well, I just don't like to listen to a Christian station. I just don't like the songs they play." I don't care what you hear around about you. You get yourself back to Jesus in music. In whatever way it is, and you may not hear what you want to hear, then hum it yourself. Play it yourself. Sing it yourself, but sing it unto the Lord. We need not a lot of the dirges of yesterday, nor do we need a lot of the garbage that's coming out as current Christian music. We need something that's other. It is something that's separate, that hasn't yet touched most people's hearts. And it's going to be beauty, and it's going to be light, and it's going to be something that allows the Holy Ghost to talk while you're listening. Any song is limited if it doesn't let the Holy Ghost talk while you're hearing it. I don't care if it's so predictable. There is room for expansion in what God does in music. There's room for interpretation when God does something in music. It gives room for a message. It is not a message in itself always, but it gives room for the message that the Holy Ghost wants to bring to cause itself to touch you. And it's there, and it's speaking something of life and beauty. And God wants to do something and manifest revelation in music. And as Elisha listened to her strum, God started talking to him some things he didn't already know. The spirit of revelation came. He found himself in a high place with God. Music is meant to bring us into a high place in God, not carnal excitement. To sense the knowledge that we're expecting God to move. Healing, deliverance, love, and care. released from pressure and tension. All of this is waiting in the very curtains of God's stage to be unfolded into the lives of a people when they come into worship. Into worship, there is a beginning, but the end is revelation. The end is prophecy. It's not four songs and we quit. Not three courses and we change. It is coming into His presence until the cloud of His glory. We sing to the cloud. We sing to the glory. We sing to the outpouring that we're anticipating. The Lord is going to make Himself known in power and in wonder in our midst. As Columbus set out in a little boat with sails afurl, with wind pushing them, and brought him to a place that he knew was going to be God's revelation, he spoke and said, I came this far not by chart nor compass. I've come this far by the Spirit of God. And I tell you, we too embark upon that which we don't know called worship. We don't know yet worship as we ought. And until we learn worship by a revelation of the power of the Holy Ghost, the church is going nowhere. We need to find a miracle in worship that hasn't been found yet. Those who played unto God were called prophets. Why? Because you can't play unto God, you can't sing unto God without getting a word from God. When you really learn to play and to sing unto God, His Word dwells among the harp. Oh, and the trumpet and the cymbals, the praises, the worship, the songs of the saints that are not commercial, are not just pumped out by all the expertise of Christian religion. No, not just a part of the musical fair that brings in audiences and crowds. We are talking about worshiping the Lord in song and in music. Oh, until the power of God begins to manifest His glory, we come into His presence with singing. Don't deny Him what He wants. Oh, don't deny Him what He wants. He wants a song. He wants a song. He wants a love song. He wants a faith song. He wants a joyful song. He wants the heart of a people to speak with words of wonder. Oh God, how great Thou art! Praise Him today. Praise Him. Magnify Him. Exalt Him. Sing until the power comes down. Worship until His glory is manifest. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Hallelujah. The intensity and the beauty of the Pistons on the court don't begin to compare with what is waiting for us to come and to take our places in worship. In worship. Until over there and over there and over there, a ripple of God's glory. Until we look at and we come to the high praises of God. It's better than we believed. The Lord is pleased with our worship. Hallelujah. You all may prophesy. You all better learn to sing a new song. Because if you don't learn to sing, your prophecy is as dry as straw. Hear me. You are crying unto God and declaring out of your spirit words that bring no great life. Elisha said to the king, paraphrasing it, I don't even like to look at your face. You're reproached to all that a king ought to be. I don't even want to be here. And so if I'm going to be a blessing, God better touch me. You better bring me something beautiful. You better bring me some music. Because it's not in my soul right now. It's not in my spirit right now. I look at the whole thing and I could spit. That's basically what Elisha says early in the chapter. I look at this whole thing and I could spit. It's a bad taste in my mouth. Listen, you got to get rid of the bad taste. You'll never have a real word from God except you get rid of the bad taste. So you better start singing. You better say, bring me somebody that knows how to bring something beautiful into this moment. Not your gossip, not your tension, not your discouragement, not your pain, not your sorrow, not your failure. Give me somebody who can bring something beautiful into this moment. Your king's an ugly man, Elisha said. Your priests are ugly men. Your superstitious following of every lottery, drug addiction, and alcohol leaves me with a bad taste in my mouth. But I don't hear from God when I got a bad taste, so you better bring me a song. I don't hear from God when I feel frustrated. You better bring me a song. I don't hear from God when I see that people aren't dedicated to the Lord. You better bring me a song. I don't hear from God when people put a quarter in the offering and they spend money on everything else. So you better bring me a song in this moment because I want God. But God doesn't come down into the dump. He brings me to higher ground. Bring me a song. Oh, hallelujah. And a young lady began to strum, and a melody began to fill the room. If you ask Elisha whose song she playing, he'd say, there is but one song. Every love song is for Jesus. Every melody is for Jesus. Every gift is for Jesus. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Every pleasant thought is for Jesus. My soul looks up to thee. Yea, my help comes from the Lord. She's playing his song. And he comes down to listen. And I'm his prophet. And when he comes down to listen to her play, I'll know it. Because my soul gets stirred when he gets into the room. My soul pants after him as a little deer the water brooks. And my soul knows when he comes and it leaps within me and something wonderful happens. He's going to be here because she's playing a song. She's playing unto the Lord. Keep on playing, honey. Keep on playing, honey, not so you can make your record. Keep on playing, honey, not so you can get your gold record. Keep on playing. Keep on playing until the glory of the Lord comes down. Just play, honey. Just keep on playing. No, don't stop yet. Don't stop yet. Though he tarry, he will come. Don't stop yet, honey. Just keep on playing. Just play another song. Play another song. No, there's another one yet. You haven't played them all. There's something else that hasn't been played yet. Let something stir inside of you. And if you feel like just kind of transposing and moving into something that you can improvise, know that that is revelation and that's anointing. Go ahead and play something you haven't ever heard yet. When you begin to feel the spirit of creativity upon you, let it move in your fingers and give me something that's never been. Give me something that's being birthed right now. You go ahead, because when creativity begins to move, I don't know what's happening. God is pleased and God is in the midst. Now I'll tell you a word in prophecy right now. You'll know when God begins to move in Detroit because there'll be courses and there'll be hymns that will be birthed in the midst of the glory of God. There'll be new songs. There'll be new courses. There'll be new ways of saying, oh God, how great thou art. And it will bring healing and it will bring deliverance. It will bring life and it will bring power because God dwells in the midst of the songs. He gives to the saints the praises of his people and he gives something in return. He gives the spirit of prophecy. Praise God right now. Give God a praise offering. There are those who find themselves with blurred vision because of drugs, waiting for the next concert, because when people come together in that moment, they set off something the power of creativity, demon spirits come to write songs. Songs are written in concerts. Melody takes on new depth and new meaning, and something happens. There's something that is unable to be explained, that it takes a bunch of people together to make it happen, but something happens in live concerts. Whether they're for God or for Satan, something happens. But I want to tell you that when God's people get together, and if you would know how important worship and songs are unto God, you would come into the service not before the preacher preaches. You'd come into the service before it ever begins, and you're waiting for the Lord to do something, because you are a key to revelation. And without revelation, we have no hope. I find preachers so sterile that there couldn't be a birth from their teaching, no matter how long they preached. Why? Because they're only parroting what somebody else said. What one German said to some Frenchman, and some other theologian said something a little bit different, and that's all they know. But listen, the gospel is not something that is given out of an archaic background, but the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And when we are pleasing God, the gospel takes on dimension and meaning. It's the Lord's doing. I want you just to praise the Lord for a moment, so that He'll be pleased to be among us, so that He'll be pleased to talk to us, to interrupt all that's being said, so that you can hear from God tonight. I preach waiting for the Lord to have an opportunity to say something through me, because what He says through me is light. Why do I not use notes? Why is it that I don't use outlines? Because I believe that this God is a God that jumps over notes and outlines, and He changes what would be, and He births what we don't know, but it's the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Hallelujah. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise the Lord. 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 Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Hallelujah. Singers in the Old Testament were called prophets. You have to dig a little bit to find that, but you'll find it confirmed. Jesus said, "Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." And what did it take? A yielded and a dedication to Christ. Our sons and our daughters are mimicking the world and demon spirits and the work of demon power. We need sons and daughters in the church who are in love with Jesus, so they can bring music to a place we've never seen yet. And the church is impotent as long as it's singing to somebody else other than Jesus. I don't mean a rosary or a crucifix. No slam intended. Or a picture on the wall. I mean the Jesus who's been good to you today, that kept you from being a fool, kept you from being cursed, was merciful to you. You got to sing to the Jesus that walks not just by the shores of Blue Galilee, but the Jesus that walked with you today. Hallelujah. The Jesus that's near you today. You got to sing unto Him. You got to sing unto Him. And secondly, you have to sing in the presence of holy people. Because holy people are turned on when it's God's song, and they see what has not been seen, and they hear what has not been heard, and they say what hasn't been said. Listen, sing in front of prophets, sing in front of apostles, sing in front of saints, because you'll get a miracle. The minstrel played, and Elisha began to feel something in his spirit. You want water, you want rain, and I want God. You want a job, and you want a husband, and I want God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Israel, you want friends and you want recognition, but I want God. You better get some people who are wanting God. You better have some people who are wanting God. My soul pants after thee. Israel, you want rain. You want water. But God's called me, Elisha said, and I want God. Verse 16, and he said after the minstrel had played and the Holy Ghost had stirred him. And verse 15, it says, when the minstrel played, that the hand of the Lord came upon him. Do you know what it is to have the hand of the Lord come upon you? You say, oh no, I don't know what that means. Then have you accepted Jesus? You ought to know what it is to have the hand of the Lord upon you. You say, well, I'm saved, but I don't know what it is to have the hand of the Lord upon me. Then you better get saved a little better. Because that's how you got saved. The hand of the Lord came upon you. And if the hand of the Lord hasn't come upon you, you're not saved. Now, I'm not trying to scare you, and I'm not trying to make some different theology, but I'm telling you that you can't get saved except the Spirit of God draw you. Except God put his hand on you, you can't get saved. You don't get saved by just going to church. You don't get saved by just praying the sinner's prayer. You get saved because God put his hand on you. Hallelujah! And when is the last time that the hand of God was on you? There's some of you just can't get into the service. I don't care if angels stood here, you couldn't get into the service because your eyes are blind. The hand of God's never been on you. You're in trouble and you need God to set you free. This is not your house and this is not your word, but it can be your house and it can be your word when the hand of the Lord comes upon you, and you better find a way to get in touch with God, because you're in trouble if God doesn't touch you. Elisha, the word of God says the hand of the Lord came on him. Hallelujah. And he said, verse 16, thus saith the Lord. You better not say, thus saith the Lord, except the hand of God come upon you. You think you can prophesy as good as somebody else? They stood up and they said something cute, and I can stand up and say something that's relevant too? You better still be still and know that God wants to cause you to be still until he puts his hand on you. Some people, they say, oh, I can pray as good as he can. Let me stand, let me pray. You better not pray except you believe that God can put his hand on you. You may begin in prayer because you're called to pray, but you better believe before I get through this thing, God's going to put his hand on me. And before I get through witnessing, God's going to put his hand on me. Before I get through preaching, God's going to put his hand on me. I believe in the hand of God. Do you believe God puts his hand out, that God touches, that God's real, that God's all-powerful? You got to believe that or you're wasting your time. The hand of God came upon Elisha and he said, thus saith the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. You haven't said nothing until God says something. You really haven't said a word until God says something, but God is saying something. Thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thus saith the Lord. Let it stir our hearts, because God says something. God says something. When have you heard God say something? Some people, they just know, well, Brother so-and-so, he's not a bad preacher. He's human like anybody else, but he's not bad, you know. Sister so-and-so, she's okay too, I guess. I don't know. You better know God. You better know the Holy Ghost. You better know the Spirit of God, and you better sing until the power of God comes down. You better get involved in worship until you feel His power and His glory. You need God to do a revolution in your whole being. Thus saith the Lord. Ah, God's in this place. Make this valley full of ditches. That's something that sounds strange. Listen, when you have God's hand upon your life, God can tell you something strange that nobody else hears, and you're not worried. I find people, they're like politicians. They want to know what everybody else thinks. Let's get together. Let's do what everybody else thinks. And often God makes people of unity in mind, and they'll think the same thing. But if God's called you to leadership, there'll be times when you are taking a vote, and it's a vote of one, but you know it's what God wants, and you're doing exactly what God says because you believe in God's hand, and you believe in God speaking. You believe in God's word. Now you take a vote in this moment and find out how God's going to move, and people say, well, God's going to send the rain. He's going to send the latter and the former rain in the same month. He's going to send a great outpouring. We're going to have water. God's going to send rain. And Elisha says, dig some ditches. Dig some ditches. And then what does he say? And he says again in verse 17, emphatically he says, for thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beast. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. There's a difference between presumption. There's difference between wishful thinking that we tag, thus saith the Lord to, thus saith the Lord, on and on and on, and God saying something. I hear people prophesying that so-and-so is going to fall in love with you. Yay, the Lord spoke to me. Tony's going to start looking your way. Yay, the Lord spoke to me. Mary is meant to be yours. You better not try to fulfill prophecy. God fulfills prophecy. And I've seen a whole lot of prophecy that's never fulfilled. Why? Because we haven't had the hand of God upon us before we prophesied. I remember the lady who came to me, and she had been with her girlfriend, and they had heard a prosperity message, and thus saith the Lord came, that they were going to have a car that was better than anybody else's, and an apartment was not going to be their lot anymore. A palace was going to be theirs. They were going to purchase a house, and it was going to be in Bloomfield Hills. And they said, praise the Lord. Listen, there's a difference between elation in your spirit, because it sounds good, and the knowledge that there's none other than God in this place. And so they said, we got to believe God for this because this is too good to pass up. And they gave away all their furniture and laid on the floor until they had calluses. And they didn't get the house in Bloomfield Hills, and they scratched their head and wondered why. It's because the hand of God wasn't on them to begin with. Start with the hand of God. And if you're going to have the hand of God, start with music. And let it be music unto the Lord. And praise the Lord. And worship the Lord. And magnify the Lord. Until the spirit of prophecy is manifest. Until God begins to show himself in prophecy. Encourage prophecy. Encourage prophecy and give God that which he's pleased with, beauty and glory, until there's a stirring in the heart and something's being created in prophecy. I'm going to close tonight, but I'm telling you this, we haven't gone as far as we can go in God. This is but the foreword of the book of God's visitation in our time, of what God wants to do, of what God is desiring to do. Elisha is the prophet. He speaks of God speaking, God's anointing. He has a double portion of what was upon Elijah. There's twice the miracles that follow him. And what does he do in this moment? He says, send me a minstrel. Let her strum a bit. Let me see God be praised in music. Let me see God be praised so that I can have a place where God can begin to move me around mentally, emotionally, until God can adjust me. Until the thoughts that are preconceived, they drop to the background, and the thoughts that are birthed are the ones that are important. And I begin with the thought of what God does. And Elijah prayed for rain, and it came. And so wouldn't that be the way that God moves? But no, I need a revelation. What's this thing that I hear God saying? What is this that I'm seeing in the Spirit? I'm looking and I'm seeing rivers, yea, ditches filled with rivers. And I hear a word from God. Dig ditches. Dig ditches. Well, then God's going to fill them as he did on top of the mountain. He's going to fill those ditches that are dug with water. No, no, no. No, no, no. I hear something more. It's not by might nor power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And you're not going to see the rain, and you're not going to hear and see the wind, but it's going to be there. It's going to be there. It's going to be there. Water for your thirst. Now let me tell you something. In the spirit of prophecy, God's going to begin to do something in your life, and you're not going to know where it came from. You're not going to know where it came from. You're not going to say, this preacher brought it to me. You're not going to say, I fasted 2 weeks and it came. You're not going to say, it came down over here. You're not going to say, it blew it over there. But you're going to say, I saw it in my spirit. I don't know where or how God did it, but I know it was the Lord's doing. It's there. I'm hungry for him again. It's there. He's my everything. It's there. My heart is fixed with him. It's there. I don't love the world anymore. I don't know what caused it. It's there. Some of you can't make two Thursday nights in a row anyhow, so I'm going to give you a little bit more so that when you miss next week, you still got something. I promise not to keep you too long, but I got something else so burning in my spirit, I got to share it with you. What are we talking about? Music and worship and praise is to bring us into prophecy, to bring us into revelation, and thus saith the Lord. And we need to encourage prophecy because it's the most powerful thing in the universe. There is nothing more powerful than prophecy. It is the most powerful force that God has. And you need to do everything you can to please God so that he begins to declare, thus saith the Lord through the church. 1 Samuel chapter 19. Before I close, I want to leave with you the potency of prophecy. Verse 20. And Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, and Samuel, that holy yielded vessel, standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. They came from the enemy's camp, but this thing is contagious. They came to do evil. But this thing is contagious. They came to obey a rebel. But this thing is contagious. The word of the Lord, it delivers enemies. It changes those who are cursed, bound, and angry. And it causes a miracle to happen. And they came to tie him up. But God caused his spirit to pour out upon them. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Pray for your enemies and prophesy concerning them. Pray for your enemies and prophesy concerning them. When the hand of the Lord is upon you, ask God for a word for your enemies so that they can prophesy as well. Stay with me. And verse 21, when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and it can be implied who were a bit more level-headed, able to follow orders better, be told what happened to the others so that they would not have the same mistake touch them. He sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. We need the power of God, don't we? That's what we need. That a man is helpless before the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. And they prophesied likewise. And verse 22. Then went he also to Ramah. Saul said, well, I'm somebody who won't get pulled in. I'm not going to believe in prophecy. I'm not going to believe in the Holy Ghost outpouring. I'm not going to believe in fanaticism. I'm not going to believe in this. I'm not going to be affected. I guess I'll have to go and do it myself. Sometimes you just got to do it yourself if you want to get it done. I wish I was there. I wish I was there. This man Saul, who was so sure that he was so hardened that the word of God wasn't going to touch him. Listen, that's what we need in this hour, where backsliders who are rebels come into the presence of the Holy Ghost and they have no power over the Spirit of the Lord. That's what we need, so that God's name can be exalted. Oh, there's been times when agnostics and atheists, as news reporters, have gone into services waiting to write up a big article about this foolish thing. And while they sit there, the anointing of the Holy Ghost comes on them and they put their pen in their pocket and they say, I can write this later of a truth. God is with them. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! It's real. It's real. When the hand of God is on a people, it's real. I start feeling something tonight. What about you? I'm feeling what I haven't felt for a long time. I'm feeling the hand of the Lord in a special way tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Saul said, God doesn't make me do anything. I do what I please. I'm going to go down there, and I am going to go down there a rebel, a sinner, a backslider. I'm going to go there, and I am not going to be changed. Hallelujah. Then went he also to Ramah and came to a great well that is in Shechem. And he asked and said, where are Samuel and David? Behold, they be at Naoth in Ramah. And he went thither, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. Hallelujah. I think God's got a humor. I think God laughs. I think he laughs at all of our puny ways, all of our ways of dryness, all of our unbelief. Listen, God can cause Saul to prophesy. He's got the power to take the enemies and turn them around. Hallelujah! And the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth in Ramah. He was prophesying and he didn't even want to.
We got people prophesying because they want to, because they're stirring up their own spirit. But here came the power of God on Saul, and he was prophesying, and he didn't even ask.
And he stripped off his kingly robe. He stood there in no more than his undergarments and prophesied before Samuel in like manner and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Woo! That's the power of God. Sing ye unto it. That's the power of God. Praise Him until it comes. That's the power of God. Lift holy hands. That's the power of God. Let God send His word. Stand with me in the service tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Turn your songs to Jesus. Turn your gifts and music to the Lord. Know who it belongs to. It belongs to the Lord. And sing, not until the lyrics are right, but sing until He walks in, until this is the Lord's doing, until His holiness takes a hold of your life, until you sense in this moment creativity like you've never known it. Every artist wants to be creative. But I'll tell you, the highest creativity of all is God stirring a man. That's the highest. That's the highest. That's the highest. Lift your heart and just praise God for a moment. As Lance ministers on the piano, just lift your heart and praise the Lord for a moment. Just praise Him. This is His moment to be praised. Lance is playing to the Lord. You're worshiping the Lord in this moment. We're worshiping God until prophecy. Yea, the spirit of prophecy is loosed in this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yea, saith the Lord. Dig ditches. Make room for water in your spirit. Make room for water in your spirit. Dig ditches. Dig ditches.